Hey everybody, it's David. Welcome to the Believer Center podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download our free Believer Center app where you can access all our recent message content. It's the easiest way for you to share all of this content with a friend and keep up with everything going on around here at Believer Center. But most importantly, we hope this week's message helps you as we follow Jesus together. Enjoy.
All right, you ready to get into the Word for a bit this morning? We'll try to build on some things we talked about last week. You can get that podcast if it's available to you if you want to listen to our opening session on what we call the principal thing. We're talking about the wisdom of God here, because that's what wisdom from God is referred to as in the Scripture, the principal thing. Would you say that with me? The principal thing. And I'm just going to focus today on how we receive the wisdom of God, how we can open our hearts to receive the wisdom that God has for us. And the first thing I want to say to you is this: one of the first keys to receiving wisdom, of course, is to value and to esteem it. It is to elevate the wisdom of God to a prominent place in your thinking and your believing. Everybody say, value it. That's what Proverbs 4:7 says. Again, Solomon here writing says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Well, that's what it says, isn't it? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get. Have you ever written down notes you can't even read yourself? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all you're getting. Get understanding. I know what was happening. I was trying to think, should I define wisdom for us? And I think I'll do that before we go any further. Do you know what wisdom actually is? Wisdom is the appropriate application of accurate knowledge. Can I say it to you again? It is the appropriate application of accurate knowledge. Not all the knowledge we have that is offered to us or that's rolling around in our own thinking, sadly, is accurate. But whatever God says to us, come on, would be the truth. It would be completely accurate, pure. You can not have accurate knowledge, apply it, and you'll get bad results. At the same time, you can have accurate knowledge and misapply it and not get the results that God promised. Did you know you can have the truth but not speak it in love? That's an inappropriate application of God's knowledge. And so you don't get the result that you would have gotten otherwise if you had not only accurate knowledge, but you also applied it appropriately. So when the Scripture speaks of wisdom, it's speaking about the application of knowledge. When we talk about godly wisdom, we're talking about truth, revelation knowledge from God, which, by the way, is the highest form of knowledge. Revelation knowledge is. We get it from God. We get it from the heart of God. We get it from His lips. We get it by the Spirit of God speaking into our lives. Of course, our Bible is filled with the knowledge and wisdom of God. And we get it from God, and then we learn also how to apply it appropriately. There's even a sense of right timing to wisdom. What might not be the right time to apply this today might happen tomorrow. Or the week after. So there's a lot involved here. And the reason I bring that up right up front is because, one of the reasons anyway, is because God holds out this higher wisdom for His people. He holds it out to us and for our benefit. And there's going to need to be from us, from our part, our partnership with God, there's going to need to be some decisions made about it. And some of them are going to be hard decisions. We're going to have to make tough decisions about getting God's wisdom on how to raise my family. Come on. On how to love my wife or my husband. How do I do business in a way that not only pleases God, but in a way that truly prospers from his perspective and his point of view? What kind of wisdom is that? Well, it's godly wisdom. And again, Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Interesting, the word principle in Proverbs chapter 4 from the Hebrew language means this. It means the first, in place, time, order, or rank. It means the chief or choice part of anything. Can I repeat that to you? The word actually means the first. Wisdom is the principal thing. The first, in place, time, order, and rank. The chief or choice part of anything. Actually, just make note of this. Exodus 23:19 is just one place where the same word is used in referring to the first of the first fruits that, of the harvest that were to be brought to God in worship. The first are the very best off the top. And that's how Solomon refers to godly wisdom, all right? You remember the story of Solomon. He took the throne. How many 20-somethings do we have in the room? Do we have very many? Would you raise your hand real tall? Some of you older people put your hands down. Wishful thinking. I've got my hand up too. How many 20-somethings do we have? Put your hand up. Did you know that it's believed that Solomon took the throne when he was around 20 years of age? And he ruled 40 years. He passed away when he was about 60 years of age. Some scholars believe as early as 15. Others believe 30 years of age. Most theologians, historians believe he took the throne to rule a united kingdom, Israel, when he was about 20 years old. He had received the throne from his father, David, and he had spent the evening worshiping at the old tabernacle of Moses, at the brazen altar, the Bible teaches us. And he had just offered 1,000 burnt offerings to God in worship. And then he heard the voice of God speak. And just before moving on too quickly from that point, I think there's something there for us. And that is this, that our honest worship often opens the door to God to speak into our lives and conditions our heart to actually hear what God might be saying to us. There's incredible value, not just in singing songs, the right songs, but worshiping God from our heart. You don't have to sing a song to worship God from your heart. Worship comes in many, many different forms, as you know. Amen. But not only it conditions the heart, it sets us in a position to where we can hear God speak to us, and it conditions the heart to hear and to receive. 2 Chronicles 1:7 says this, on that night, after all of that occurred, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I give to you? Now think about that. What would your answer or your reply have been? Or would it be if God appeared to you tonight and said, you can just ask whatever you will? What is it? And Solomon, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 1:8, instead of requesting happiness, fame, fortune, long life, winning the lottery, domination, 1,000 new followers on social media, what he did was he asked God for this. 2 Chronicles 1:8, Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Verse 9, now, O Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Then verse 10, now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours? Here was God's response. 2 Chronicles 1:11. Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Verse 12, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. And, everybody say and. And I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. Because he treasured wisdom from God, and he made it a priority in his life. Something much grander unfolded before him for his life. He wrote about it, of course, in the Book of Wisdom, the Proverbs. Proverbs 3:13 says this, Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. I went out and Googled, you know, just studying this past week, you know, what are people asking for? What do they want more than anything else out of life? You know, the number one thing, to be happy. Well, look at what Proverbs 3:13 says again. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Verse 16 of Proverbs 3, watch this. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. In one place, we're taught not to seek what is in wisdom's hands, but to seek after wisdom. Did you know the New Testament tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that Jesus has been made unto us wisdom? So to seek godly wisdom in one way is to also seek Jesus. And when we do, these other things are added to us. Again, sounds a lot like Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the worldwide expansion of the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto us. Verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. The wisdom of God brings peace into our life, ushers the peace that is, by the way, it passes all understanding. This is unreasonable peace that God is offering to his people. And we find it released into our lives in one way, through the wisdom of God. Verse 18, she, wisdom, is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And here it is again, and happy are all who retain her. Pastor, I really, my life, I just want to be happy. I don't feel like I'm a happy person. Wisdom from God can produce that happiness and more in your life. Amen. Do you believe the word of God today? Proverbs 4:7 again says, wisdom, this is from the Passion Translation, wisdom is the most valuable commodity, so buy it. Revelation knowledge is what you need, so invest in it. Verse 8, wisdom will exalt you when you exalt her truth. When you exalt her truth, she will exalt you. She will lead you to honor and favor. When you live your life by her insights. The 9th verse, you'll be adorned with beauty and grace. Wisdom's glory will wrap itself around you, making you victorious in the race. Say victorious. We're not just running a race. We're running a race. We're actually already winners in this race, and we are living the victory. Amen? It's already ours. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, verse 12 says. What? Did I read that right? When you walk, talking about in wisdom, your steps will not be hindered. I can stand with all honesty before you and tell you the best decisions I ever made in life were made in view of the wisdom of God. And the worst decisions, the most destructive decisions I've ever made in my life is when I ignored God's wisdom or I ignored his voice in a time of choice at a crossroads in my life. Proverbs 4:13 says, take firm hold on instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she, wisdom, is your life. I wanted you to see these really amazing outcomes of following godly wisdom, to encourage you, to again, open your eyes to what God is holding out to us right now, today, concerning the lives that we're living here. This wisdom, the wisdom of God, is the key to life as God has always intended it for you to have and to enjoy. I'll say it again. This wisdom, godly wisdom, is the key to the life that God has always intended for you to have and for you to enjoy. It's the same wisdom that God used, listen to this, to form the earth. So I wonder if that's true, and I believe it is, do you think God's wisdom will be useful in forming our lives and helping us to manage our life in a way, again, that speaks to who, how God sees us and what, again, he wants for our lives? The second thing in receiving the wisdom of God is this. The first was to value it, to esteem it. That's a big step for a lot of people. There's a lot that we're trying to manage in life and prioritize. Put wisdom at the top of that, godly wisdom. Number two, another key is receiving the wisdom of God is knowing that its source is God and that it comes down from heaven. And that seems very elementary, but it's worth mentioning, because what we're talking about in the wisdom of God is wisdom that is supernatural. And it's introduced into our heart by supernatural means. Now, we can observe it in other people's lives and be encouraged by it. And I'll talk about that a little bit as we close today. But if you want godly wisdom for yourself and you want godly wisdom to transform your life, you have to know it's supernatural and that it comes to you in a supernatural way. Amen. There is wisdom that the Bible says is earthly, sensual, and devilish. That's in James chapter 3 and verse 15. It promotes, the Bible says, envy, strife, confusion, and every evil work. James wrote that where confusion is, excuse me, where strife is and confusion is, there's every evil work. Amen. And so this wisdom, the Passion Translation says, there's this wisdom of this present age, both unspiritual, and watch this, and behaving like a demon. That's how it reads in the Passion Translation. There's a wisdom that's earthly, it's devilish, and sensual. We're exposed to it every day of our life. Our ears hear it every day of our life. It's being offered to you and to me every day of our life. And some of it comes, believe it or not, in the name of Jesus. We desperately need a communion with the Holy Spirit to help us discern what is godly wisdom and what is ungodly wisdom, what is the wisdom of this world, and what is the wisdom James would go on to talk about, which is heavenly. He said there's also, in contrast, a wisdom that is from above. Say above. The word above comes from the Greek word anothen, and it means from a higher place and speaks of things of heaven. James said it's from above, which is pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and producing good fruit. It is without partiality, no prejudice, and without hypocrisy. How could we use that in our world today? Amen. God intends for it to flow to you and from you into a hurting world. It's supernatural wisdom hidden by God for those who believe. The Bible says for their glory. That word glory, the phrase or the word glorification in the New Testament, which we don't often even try to define, has to do with taking what God has begun in us in redemption and in salvation and bringing it to full completion. In other words, glorification is God furthering his redemption in your life. It's you experiencing more and more and more of the abundant life. And God has, hidden this wisdom not from you, but for you, to bring you into a greater fullness of spirit life and spirit-led life. It's the supernatural wisdom that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. This is what Paul wrote. He said, this is why the scripture says, in verse 9, excuse me, this is why the scripture says things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine. These are the many things God has in store for all his lovers. And then he goes on to say in verses 10 and verse 12, but God now unveils these hidden things. He unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Everyone say, by the Spirit. By the Spirit. We've got to know the source. It's going to be from God by the Holy Spirit. It's going to come from heaven to those of us who seek it and seek God for it. Yes, he has revealed to us, the Bible says, to his inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. Verse 12 says, for we did not receive the spirit of the world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. I can see some of you shaking your heads to it. That's a big wow. It's huge for us. So much of what we're yearning for, Romans 8, we talk about the groaning that happens in believers. And that groaning is that we just know there's something more and there's something greater. There's something bigger than what we've experienced, even of God. There's just so much more. We're just scratching the surface of it. You know, there's a groaning on the inside of us. God's wisdom is opening up the pathway for us to experience that more. Amen? It's there for us. Some of us have almost given up on Christianity in our walk. At times in our walk, some have given up. Others almost thinking if this is all there is to Christianity, then I think I'm done. Listen, there's so much more that God has hidden for you. But you're probably, like so many of us, looking for it in the wrong place. And you're looking to hear voices void of the Spirit of God's insight to gain godly wisdom. I'd like to say it again, that you can see wisdom at work in the lives of other people. You can be encouraged by it, but the real transformation comes by personal revelation that God gives when it's embraced by faith. You can be conformed or shaped, or you can be transformed. You can pattern your life. Even Paul encouraged that. In one place he said, follow my faith. He said, look at how I live my life, how I pray, how I try to love people. What's important to me? Be encouraged by that. You know? But if you want to be transformed the way Paul was transformed, you're going to have to spend some real personal time with God yourself. I thank God every day for the people that he has sent into my life to help me. But he has taught me that I must personally grow myself, because that help may not always be there. We're never helpless. God is always our help. Amen. Part of experiencing more of God is knowing the wisdom of God and having the wisdom of God revealed to us. And I'm saddened because I believe there's so many of us who've been walking with Jesus a long time, we still don't know how to do that. And I don't think we haven't been taught. I think we haven't taken the time to value it and then the steps to do it, to actually do it. It's one thing to dream about something. It's one thing to hope about it. Thank God for that. It's another to enter into it by making the hard choices, the tough decisions. If you want to walk into the walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in your Christian life, I don't know how you're going to live your Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to make up a lot of things along the way and just kind of end up, you know, with your own version of Christianity if you're not going to rely on the power and the provision that the Holy Spirit brings into your life. We need Spirit-filled businessmen and women. Come on. We need Spirit-filled politicians. We need Spirit-filled pastors. We need Spirit-filled teachers in our school system. People who haven't been taken by the wisdom of the world, haven't been taken down by the wisdom of the world. But God is at work in them both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Communing with the Holy Spirit, becoming acquainted with His voice, asking for understanding is essential to grasping God's wisdom for life. James wrote in a time when Christians were confused about what was happening, and many of them, again, at a point of abandoning their faith, to go to God to clear things up, to go to God for the help they needed. James 1:5, and if anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom. He will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity, watch this, to scold you over your failures, but He will overwhelm your failures with His generous grace. In other words, God won't make you feel stupid. He'll come to your aid, and He will give you, the Bible says, more than you ask for. James was, again, ministering to a group of people who had turned away from communion with God to try to figure out what was going on. We see that, have seen it in life, you know, nothing new under the sun, as Solomon would say in another place. But many of us spend way too much time trying to interpret our circumstances and what's happening to us instead of just going directly to God and asking Him for clarification. Amen? We've got Christians going, what is God trying to teach me through this sickness? It's not what God is trying to teach you through a sickness. It's what the devil is trying to do to you through sickness. And God, going to God, you'll see the healer. Going to God, you'll receive knowledge, revelation knowledge. Going to God, you'll receive, what do I do next to get healing or receive healing? You know, too many Christian people going to the stars and reading the horoscope. Really, Pastor? Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's some people that can tell you their sign in the horoscope before they can tell you what John 3:16 says. Ouch. Reading the, God knows your future. God has you in His hand. God's planned something for you since before the foundations of the world. He's got a dream for you that's bigger than your biggest dream. That's why Paul would write in another place, God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. He's got big things for you. How do I get that released into my life? Wisdom is the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of men, not the wisdom of the world. They're in contrast. One is dark, one is light. Amen. One leads to away from God. The other leads to God. The last thing I want to mention today is just simply this. That understand that as divine and supernatural as this wisdom is, just be aware that it's designed to work in the natural realm in everyday life. Again, I think some people, Christian people in particular, miss the supernatural of God looking for the spectacular. And we don't want you know, did your mom ever say that to you or your dad say that to you when you were growing up? Don't become so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Do you hear that? Well, there's some truth in that, you know, because you can get so here that you're not living that wisdom out here. You're not applying that wisdom to everyday life. Proverbs 1:21 says this in the Passion Translation, yet wisdom's song is not always heard in the halls of higher learning, but in the hustle and the bustle of everyday life. Amen. Cindy gave this to me before service, and I've got it for you on the screen. It says this, the spirit of extraordinary wisdom is also the spirit of skillfulness. It is this aspect of the Lord that releases the ability for music, for art, for business, for writing, for creativity, and wisdom for judicial decisions. In other words, a supernatural wisdom from God is meant by God to show up in our everyday life, to be released in our everyday life, not just to be treasured and held over here in a special do not touch me place, but instead to be brought into our everyday way of thinking and our everyday way of believing. This thought crossed my mind that when God all those years ago created the heavens and he created the earth, he intended for his wisdom, for godly wisdom, to be released into the planet by Adam and Eve and all their descendants. For the world to be managed by the wisdom of God. The world was receptive to the wisdom of God. And then sin entered in. And yet God's wisdom is still available to us. I believe creation still responds to it. And God wants us to have it when it comes to managing our everyday life. It makes sense that if God created the heavens and the earth by his wisdom, that it's best managed by his wisdom. And again, that includes you managing your own personal life. How many of you would say, you know, Pastor, there's a lot of times during the day where I am seeking answers to my questions. I don't really know what to do, or I would love for God to speak into my situation. Can I see your hands? That wisdom is available to you. You say, well, it's a silly question. Nah, maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Ask it. God's got wisdom for you. The wisdom is meant for life in the here and the now, not in the heaven, not in the sweet by and by, but in the here and the now. Proverbs 1:20 and 1:21. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. Notice those four categories and we're done. First, the outside wisdom from God enables us to be, so to speak, streetwise, street savvy, rather than just be gullible and naive. Number two, it's in the open squares. What does that mean? It refers to places of business and trade where negotiations and deals are being made. Wisdom is speaking into your career, into your work situations, has the power to equip you and bring success in the marketplace. And then Solomon mentioned chief concourses. What does that mean? I believe it means you can know the wisdom of God along the major thoroughfares of your life. By that, I mean maybe your own personal growth, the health of your family, health of all your relationships. Dear God, help our children. Help us, but help our children. Have the wisdom of God when it comes to the relationships that they're forming. To know the difference between what is right, wrong, good, evil, of God, of the devil. Amen. Pray wisdom over your kids because they're a main thoroughfare in your life. Amen. Who you're going to marry if you want to be married. Wow. Major thoroughfare in your life. What are you going to spend the next 20 years, should Jesus tarry, doing with your life? I think your career choices, your choices about your future. Those are major thoroughfares. And isn't it comforting to know that the wisdom of God is speaking right into that highway in your life? And then he mentions gates. In ancient times, the only entrance into a walled city was through the gates. One of the things I think this speaks to us is it's through wisdom that we can choose what to permit or what to forbid to come into our lives or our world that God has given us charge over. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? So, Pastor, what is it really you want us to know more than anything else? You know, I've taught 10, 12 weeks on wisdom before. I tried to do it this time and it didn't work. I just tried to cram into this a few things. Here's what I'd love to see happen in your life and in the life of our church family. As if we would leave these last 2 weeks, first of all, with a real hunger and a real desire for the wisdom of God to rule and to reign in our lives. I would love for you to treasure it above all the other that's being offered to you and ask God to help you know the difference between the two. Because the wisdom of this world can come sneaking up on you disguised like God, the name of Jesus thrown around, offered to you. But it'll take you down a bad path, down a path to poverty. Whereas God's taking you down this way that leads to eternal life. Amen. I would want you to treasure it. I want you to be praying every day. Just quick, but meaningful. Doesn't take a long time, but just meaningful, heartfelt. God, today, I believe Jesus has been made unto me wisdom. And I receive that wisdom for this day. I believe as a child of God, I hear your voice. And though I may hear a stranger's voice, I will not follow the stranger's voice. I would love to see you take a bold stand for the wisdom of God in your life. I'm done with lies. I'm done with half-truths. I'm done with the devil whispering into my life, trying to shape my life, trying to lead me in my life. I'm done with that. I am actively, as of this day, resisting the devil. He is fleeing from me. But my eyes and my ears are open, God, to your wisdom from above. That supernatural wisdom that you gave for life the way you intended it. And I thank you, God, for that. I'd love to see you value God's wisdom. I'd love to see you cry out for it because it's crying out to you. Amen. I'd love to see you run to God and ask for his wisdom. Ask him to speak into your life when you're just at a loss of what to do, how to do it. Instead of just turn to what has been done or look to the experiences that other men have had, I'd love for you to learn how to turn to God and say, oh God, I need some of that supernatural wisdom in my life. Amen. And then anticipate. He said, all you have to do is ask. Don't be double-minded about it. What does that mean? It means this. It means be dedicated to him and what he's going to say. Don't go back and forth about who you're dedicated to listen to. I want God to speak into my life. So I'm not back and forth. I'm not double-minded about it. I'm not like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. I'm looking to God. He is my wisdom. Amen.